Thank you, Thomas, for those leading us in those songs this morning. Thank you all for being here. Good to be with the people of God always. If you would, take your Bibles, be turning to Proverbs chapter 31. The lesson this morning is the Proverbs 31 woman. I feel like we've done good in covering the man for a number of weeks in the Bible class. And I was even thinking that the lesson this morning was also a good kind of tie-in with the lesson, the sermon this morning. So hopefully it'll be a benefit and blessing to our women. Did you know there's an ideal wife and mother in the eyes of God? And most don't really know that she exists in the world or where she could be found. And yet God has revealed to us in the book of Proverbs that ideal one. Now we're going to start not in verse 10, as often is the case with a Proverbs 31 sermon, but we're going to start in verse 1. Sometimes individuals think that maybe it was a man that wrote a list of everything that his wife wasn't, and so there he would be able to tell the world, here's how you ought to really be. But the truth is, it was a man that wrote it down. It wasn't the words of a man. And Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterances which his mother had taught him. And so it was actually a woman that said these words. And since they're in the Bible, they are met with the Holy Spirit's approval, that they would be revealed unto us and contained in the Holy Word of God. These are things that were said by a wife and a mother. And I believe that they were set forth as a prayer for her future son's spouse to be. And we might say that they might even be the prayer for every mother's future wife for her son that is godly in Christ Jesus as well. So who was this mother of King Lemuel? We don't even really quite know who King Lemuel was. Some wonder perhaps it was another name for Solomon, and if that's the case, then it was certainly advice that he needed to heed. Advice that would have helped him so badly if he would have listened to it, to find an excellent wife. Now, the first verses 2 through 9 is guidance that she gives her son about general affairs of being a good king. There, verse 2, what my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. And so then she talks about things in which often leads to various pitfalls. And it would be true not only of kings, but also of just ordinary men as well. Verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. And so, great advice from a mother to a son, and she cares for his well-being and his prosperity to come. But she spends the most time talking about the woman that he would marry, verses 10 through 31. Because it is true, there will be no one that will influence you more in life than the person that you marry. And so if you're unmarried, take that counsel very, very seriously. Many times individuals enter into marriage thinking, well, I've fallen in love with them, and I realize that there's some glaring flaws and faults, but I'll change them after I get married. And that is one of the biggest mistakes that individuals will make. And I often remind them, listen, if they will change after they're married, then they'll change before they're married. You're just going to have to be patient and do the work. Else you're going to discover that they're not the ones for you. So she goes on to say to her son, who can find a virtuous wife? Find an excellent wife. And then she tells him what that kind of character of that woman is. And so we're going to note six features of this virtuous wife in this study this morning. So the first one is her character as a wife. So there in 31 verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, Tim talked about this a little bit in his lesson this morning, that in certain cultures, certain places, women are looked down upon. Now, in the ancient world, that was certainly the case. The women were often seen as second-class citizens. They were not viewed as priceless rubies at all. And yet God said of a certain godly woman, she should be viewed that way. She is a virtuous woman. Her worth is far above rubies. And so you might think about riches and wealth and glory and honor. And he's saying, listen, if you get the right woman, she's above all of that. She can make or break you ultimately in life, and also where you will spend eternity. So find a virtuous wife. Now, the word virtuous means excellent or outstanding in character. She's honorable. She's devout. She is godly. And he says, this person is priceless. You just can't put a price tag on a woman like this. Her worth is far above rubies. Now again, in ancient times, wives were considered like higher class servants. And so a lot of the closeness was not even there. Even an intimacy, because some of the men would often have concubines as well. And so it wasn't a relationship that sometimes could foster and grow trust. And if you think about it, among kings, that was certainly so. You think about Solomon and how many wives he had. And so this advice from his mother is so important if it would be heeded. You should be able to trust her. Verse 11, the heart of a husband safely trusts her, so he'll have no lack of gain. Right? He wouldn't have to lock up his valuables when he'd leave the house, right? You could trust her. She's not going to run up the debit card or something like that, you know. My good wife, she certainly fits this category here. She has the checkbook. Many of you that they have to take the collection plate, you go to her because she's got the checkbook. She writes, puts it in there for the family. I don't have any fears or worries that all of a sudden there's going to be many checks written all over the place, you know, here, there, and everywhere. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. Your income, your finances will not be damaged by her. You can have complete trust with her there. And that is an important message today in our materialistic society where oftentimes that can be the place. One of the main reasons for divorce is financial problems, financial arguments. And perhaps it is the case where certain women do go on spending sprees and they find themselves way over their heads and what they can return and pay back. Well, verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Man, you want a woman that will have your best interest at heart. She seeks to build you up and not tear you down. Her desire to help make you the very best that you can be in every area and aspect of your life. When times are good or when times are bad. When there's times of plenty, when times are poor. When full or hungry, sad or happy, sick or well. For better or worse, as we often say. She does him good all the days of her life. Not just some or most. Not just when she feels like it. But all the days of her life. She gains nothing by tearing him down. You know, you've seen that before sometimes, you know, where you wonder what's going on in their head as they, maybe you're gathered together in a little public gathering with people and they begin talking about their life and telling different stories. And then all of a sudden you see the wife start to make fun of the husband in a very public way, in an embarrassing way. And you think, whoa, you know, we didn't need to hear some of those kinds of details. Now, she doesn't gain, a godly woman doesn't do that. She wouldn't speak evil of a husband where then people will think less of him. And that it would damage his reputation. Because ultimately, it's also going to bring the damage of hers reputation as well. Now, she seeks to do him good, encourage him, build him up. And not evil. And so this is her character as a wife. Next, we're going to go, and you'll see the majority of the text deals with her devotion as a homemaker, to manage the house. So let's look here in verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. So she seeks thread, both wool and flax. She goes and buys them and puts them to the loom, and then she will begin to weave. You'll notice verse 19, she stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. And she begins to make garments. Now the wool would be for garments of winter, and flax and linen would be garments for summer. The needle, the spindle, it works with delight. You notice there's no complaint about this. She works willingly, it says, with her hands, not begrudgingly. I mean, she finds joy in this labor. And you might say, why? That seems like that would be hard, right? And be difficult and time-consuming. Yes, she finds joy because for whom she does it for? Her family. It's not done in anger or resentment, because she loves the people she serves. She loves to be able to see that they're pleased with her work. And so she works and works very hard. I remember reading something of a man in the 1800s, remembered his mother every afternoon on the wheel spinning, working to make the clothes for the family. And on the stalk of the wheel was her Bible, so that every now and then she may feed her soul while she spun at the wheel, showing and displaying to her son that there was always time for God. Even among work, you can take time to meditate on what His Word has said. Verse 14 says that she is like a merchant ship, and she brings her food from afar. Why would she do that? Why from afar? Why not close by? Well, the wife cuts out the middleman. She knows where to get the best deal, and so she's willing to go the extra distance to find it. We might say it's kind of tantamount to the wife that cuts the coupons, right? And tries to go a little bit further, or to a wholesale place or something like that. I realize now in the day of the digital realm, there's not much coupon cutting that goes on, but they got the apps, they got the various things to be able to scan and get the price knocked down just a little bit. She does this because she knows it's going to help the family. She finds complete satisfaction in the joy of whom she's serving, and so she's willing to go the great distances to find the best at the best prices, all to benefit the family. So verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So you see, it's before dawn, here she is getting up. Now a lamp was all that was shining in ancient homes. It was the wife's duty to keep it lit. And she'd pour a little oil in it after dark, and then before dawn, she'd make sure it hadn't gone out in case anybody else had to also get up early in the morning while it was still dark. This was her. She's up grinding corn for the day's meal, rises up last night, providing food for her household, for her husband, for her children, and we also see for her maidservants as well. She's serving the servants. So we see her household, in a lot of ways, is put above her own comfort and her own rest, as she's up long before others are up. Verse 16, we see her entrepreneurial spirit as well. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits, she plants a vineyard. She thought of how to bring in a little extra income without compromising her duties of home and children. You know, sometimes ones wonder, can a woman work outside the home? Well, here is a woman that was doing that. Like I said, we just have to make sure it's measured and balanced, that our duties as a role, if it's a housewife, is not being damaged and neglected. And so she did. She considers a field. She buys it. And from her profits, she plants a vineyard, a little plot of land, plant grapes. Again, this is going to benefit the home as well, right? to be able to make grape juice. If she wants, she could be able even to sell as well some of what she makes, the excess that she would not use for her family. Look at verse 16. She considers field. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Well, where'd she get this profit, this money? Verse 24 tells us she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. So here's this very busy lady, right? Doing a little here, doing a little there, all to better the family. And then she saved and she saved and she saved, not to indulge in herself, but to secure it one day, to use it for the better of the family. She finds an investment to help the family again. Buys the plot of land, plants the vineyard. It's amazing. She's industrious. She's busy. Verse 18, it says, and she perceives that her merchandise is good. And her lamp does not go out by night. You see that? He's saying she was able to fulfill both duties. This entrepreneurial spirit to be able to help the family with some of the income, but then also not neglecting her household duty as well. And her light did not go out at night. Again, it's wonderful when a woman can think about how to make wise investments. And a woman has talent and ability and capability to make a little money. That's a marvelous thing as well. But we have to do mention, it's sad when a woman decides she's going to have a career at the expense of the family and children and the home. That's not being the virtuous wife that we read of here. Titus says in Titus 2:5, which we read in our Bible class, that her first priority is at the home. Timothy says that she shall be saved in childbearing, emphasizing that that's her role ultimately, where she's going to find the most satisfaction, where she'll flourish and grow before God and find the most inward delight. This woman here understood that. She planted by day, wove at night, rose before dawn to prepare food. She kept a sunrise and after dark kind of schedule to care for her house, which was the priority of her life. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She's motivated by all the good of this effort. Not self-fulfillment, not self-indulgence, but the inherent goodness of her family being benefited. That was a blessing. Verse 21 says she was not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Remember those wool garments we talked about earlier? She made those for winter. Plus, we see that she carefully cared about the design of it, right? The color is scarlet. It was dignified. It was beautiful. And yet it was functional. It was well made. But red was for its beauty. You see, she did not just meet the need, but she also cared for the enjoyment of her family as well. That they would appreciate the things that were made for them. She was able to find joy in their joy. We also see that while she worked and worked, she didn't, quote, let herself go. Look, verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So tapestry coverings is regards a coat or a wrap. Pillows might even refer to bed coverings as well. You ever wonder why a woman always likes to make the bed? Right? They love to make it beautiful. A lot of us men, we just roll out and we get on our day and we get on going. But you come back and there's the bed and it's all made. It's all nice, tucked in the pillows and all that stuff. And we have to admit it. And it does look nice. It's enjoyable to have a neat bed and a neat home. They fix it just right. Her clothing was made of fine linen, not just any linen, but fine linen. Like I said, she didn't let herself go. And purple as well, which was always associated with elegance. Remember, Lydia was a seller of purple. It was a very famous color and dye. Looked beautiful. And so she appreciates the beauty that God has given her. She makes effort to be attractive to her husband. She enjoys making him attracted to her. She cares about her appearance before him. Might also mention that color purple was one of the colors used in making the veil for the tabernacle and then the temple as well. It was like the best of the best that she could do. So she knows how to take care of herself in a way that modestly expresses her beauty and loveliness to her husband. This is indeed a marvelous lady indeed. She has shown a great devotion as a homemaker. But next we see her generosity as a neighbor. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Notice, they don't come to her. She goes to them. She's looking for the opportunities. Isn't that good? She has great compassion for those outside her home, those in need, to extend her hand, to get involved in their life is the idea. Provide what they need. I think of Tabitha in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, where it says that she was full of good works and charitable deeds. That's how this woman was. I've seen women like that here at this congregation as well. Always trying to find that need. I get to be privy of much of the work that they do under wraps and in secret, and they say, don't tell anybody, but I just need to know, you know, what's this? And so I get privy of that. And indeed, there are some that look for that opportunity, stretch out their hand to those that are less fortunate. So we see that she is a utterly selfless woman here in this text. She wants to know, is it food that they need, money? Is it a coat that she has made? Maybe take one from the market that she would be selling and give it to them. She reaches out her hands to the needy. It's a beautiful thing before God. We see next her influence as a teacher. You know, Titus 2 verse 3, we read it, that she is to be a teacher of good things. We read that in the class this morning. There, verse 25, though, before we talk about verse 26, where it says she opens up her mouth and what she teaches, what she says. Verse 25 ultimately is the basis or the platform from which she works. It all starts here. For her to be accepted and her influence as a teacher, she has to have the right character. And verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her platform. We talked about, again, Titus 2, reverent in behavior. And Tim asked, what does it mean to be reverent? Here's the idea, strength and honor are her platform. She is dignified. She's elevated above the trivial things of life. Her life is not about all that doesn't matter. She has true class and virtue. She is spiritually strong and elevated herself to the nobler issues of life. And so this brings no fear of the future. Her life is right with God. So based on strength and virtue and honor and above the trivial things of life, now she opens up her mouth. Verse 26, she opens up her mouth with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. So out comes wisdom with great kindness and compassion. See, King Lemuel's mother knew this would help. You need a sounding board with the issues of life. You need someone that you can trust in. You need someone that can be able to counsel you. It doesn't mean that they're always yes men or yes women for this example. There's times where they disagree and they'll tell you and they'll kind of steer you aright. But again, out comes kindness and compassion. She's not hastily speaking her mind, but is wise in the selection of her words. This is how she influences individuals as a teacher. Her words are not loaded with barbs or gossip. She's not loudmouthed like the proverb writer describes the harlot. But rather, she's as Peter describes in 1 Peter chapter 3. She is the makeup of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. So she opens her mouth, and out comes the law of kindness. You see, what does that mean, the law of kindness? It was a law to her, right? She was going to do her best that when it came to speaking what needed to be said, she would do it with kindness. She would be effective that way. People would listen. People would be helped. Next, we see her effectiveness as a mother. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she is not lazy, as we've clearly seen. She's here, there, and everywhere, right? She's doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's not just, you know, sitting down binge-watching shows right and left, right? She doesn't let time slip by, but she seizes the day. Carpe diem, right? She gives her life away to her children and to her husband as she watches over the ways of her household. And then verses 28 and 29 speak to her reward. It all comes back to her. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And so there's a reward, there's the benefit, the blessing that comes back to her. She's praised, she's blessed by those she loves the most. And what more could a woman want? Deep down inside, this is it. At least it should be. And that's what I said earlier on, like, that womanhood, women will find their greatest satisfaction in life when these intrinsic needs planted by God within her soul are met. God made man and God made woman and knows exactly what it is they need to achieve the maximum satisfaction in life. And so, through all of her work, she doesn't feel like she's a slave. She feels fulfilled. She is happy seeing the fruit of her contribution to the home, the well-being of her loved ones. And receiving that approval from them. She secures it because they're able to see of all the effort and sacrifice that she pours in to the home, not again for her own glory, but for the benefit of her loved ones. This woman has had careful surveillance over everything. She's managed the house. She's managed the children. She wasn't lazy. She didn't eat the bread of idleness, but of real hard work. And this real satisfaction now comes back to her from the people she loves the most. She's given everything to them. And this is what she gets back, praise and honor. And it was, in fact, it was due. Her husband loves her now more than he's ever loved her before. This is what the mother's writing to the son, and the son is sharing these words of truth and wisdom, recognizing, listen, this is going to be the woman you're going to praise. This is going to be the woman you'll be so glad that you married. Because in the process of time, he now sees how her character and sacrifice has helped the family. As time goes on, the love of her husband and children grows stronger and stronger in her. And again, deep down inside, that's truly all that she ever really wanted. Let me tell you, we are living in this world, in this society, where there are career-driven women that neglect the home, and they are among the most saddest, depressed individuals that you will meet because they feel unfulfilled. They're not meeting their God-given work. And therefore, they feel this sense of emptiness. You know, most don't know the Bible says this. I'm going to quote a verse to you. And it's a verse that is highly offensive to this society. But the verse says this. It's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 9. Man was not created for woman, but woman for the man. Like I said, you say that out there, and you're going to get yelled at by people today. But what is God saying? He's saying ultimately there's these roles that are given. And when one meets their roles, they're going to find their ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction in life. And is that not true? Genesis chapter 2, man was alone. And God said it's not good for man to be alone. And so what do? I'll make a helper for him. Man wasn't created for woman, but the woman was created for man. And so when she then fulfills that role, God planted within her intrinsically that she will feel the happiest, the most satisfied. She will receive the praise from her husband and the praise from her children and the praise from the brethren and the praise from others, even on the outside world, recognizing this woman, she is a blessed woman. Look at verse 29. The husband says, many daughters have done well. But you, dear wife, you excel them all. In essence, he says, I've met a lot of other women, but I wouldn't trade any of them for you. You excel them all. This is a woman who is worth far above rubies. And then last, we cannot leave this out. Her excellence as a saint. Verses 30 and 31. Mother Lemuel said, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So she's saying, son, listen, charm is deceitful, right? That's the gracefulness of form. Beauty is passing. There's the face. These things are deceitful. It can look good, but it can cover a wicked heart. You can almost see a mother saying this to him. Just as many of our mothers have said that to us as well. Don't just look at the outside, right? Look at the inside. Remember, these are the words of a mother. Be careful what you're looking for. All the things I've spoken previously, that's what you need to be looking for. This kind of character within the woman. Now, if you happen to find one with charm and beauty, then great. But those are inadequate reasons alone to marry a woman. She looks really good, right? Watch out. Saying that can lead to pain down the road. If that's the only reason why you marry that girl. But a woman who fears the Lord, now, that's what you need to look for. She shall be praised. She's got first things first. You see, this is the fuel that guides her. This is the reason why she does what she does. This is the reason why she sacrifices, because she wants to put God first. She wants to please her God. And the ironic thing is, as she works to do that very thing, she also receives the praise from those she loves the most in her home. And that's the end result there, verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. There's the product of it all. All the good she's done to others has now come back to her. All the sacrifice, private labor, now comes back to her almost in a public way at the gates. Her children will call her blessed. Her husband will praise her. The neighbors and poor will praise her. Her own works praise her at the gates. What a beautiful woman indeed. Indeed, the goal for every woman to aspire to live up to be. I know it can feel daunting and overwhelming, but God does not tell us things that we cannot do, things that are impossible to accomplish. But He does give us a high mark to shoot for. We're thankful that He does. Because we know that He knows ultimately what will bring about our happiness and satisfaction and ultimately our salvation in the end. Now, I do want to mention this because it's always possible that men go on the way home and say, "Boy, did you hear that lesson, wife?" Nudge, nudge, right? Tap, tap. "He got you today." No, it's not about getting anybody. We have to remember, this is serious as a heart attack. This is the spiritual life that God expects of a worthy woman. And so it's always upon us as men to be supportive and compassionate, helpful and not hurtful. Be encouraging to them as you want them to be encouraging to you. I like the words that was given to King Rehoboam as counsel and advice. He said, the servants said to King Rehoboam, "If you're kind to them and please them and speak good words to them, then they'll be your servants forever." I think there's a lot of truth to that. We could all do well of being kind and humble and respectful of one another. So may God be with us and with our families, be with our wives, and be with our men as we're doing this class, that we might be the men God would have us to be. We see also there's great instruction in the Word of God for how the woman ought to be as well. And I hope it's encouraged all of us today. We are very blessed to have good, godly women in this congregation, and even some that are growing up and aspiring to be as well. It could be, though, that there's some here that are not Christians yet, whether they be boys or girls, men or women. And God would have you to respond to His Word, to heed the gospel call, to repent and be baptized, to have your sins washed away. And knowing with His help, being clothed in Christ Jesus, and that He goes with us wherever it is we may be, that He'll help us to grow and develop and mature to become the men and women that we ought to be, as long as we're willing to keep being diligent, working hard at that effort. Maybe you're here and you've fallen short of that. You've gone back to the way of the world, gone back into sin. This time is also for you to get correct and right in your life, and prayers can be offered on your behalf if you feel the need of that encouragement. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing? Door is standing, patiently drawing near. Entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear?